I'm Adrian Clifton, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 40 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast. As ever, I'm joined by Cook.
The big 4-0, eh? All downhill from here.
I'm so 40, look. And Matt.
Happy 40th anniversary.
Thank you very much for downloading. This week's episode. What have we got coming up on this week's show?
Well, I think we'll start again. coming up on tonight's episode, we interview returnee Josh Reese.
I love how you say tonight. We're also going to review the match away to Hartlepool.
We've an interview with Adrian Clifton.
We were at an event last night, the release of The Long, Long Road to Wembley by Dave Roberts. We're going to have some content on that.
And also catch up with him in another interview.
Absolutely. We're going to hear from Jack Holland as well.
It's an interview special, isn't it? And then we're going to look ahead to Boreham Wood.
And we're going to try and think of another question to ask if our other one hasn't got many answers already.
There we go. That's the running order, Jeff.
Fantastic. Professional as ever. like you say, we're going to start with Josh Reese. So last week, fantastic. Brilliant. Podcast all put together. Thursday done nice and early. What more is going to happen? Brilliant. We're all ready for Saturday. And then Friday comes along and we go and sign a player. and that player was, of course, Josh Reese. Many fans, ourselves, everyone delighted really at the return, really a bit unexpected.
Yeah, came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yes, and obviously soon after we finished recording the episode and uploaded it, the news sort of started to filter in.
Typical.
Here, and we thought, right, it's not going to be such a chilled Friday. There's a lot going on, especially getting prepared for the match as well. But Josh, a fantastic player to welcome back. 20 goals from central midfield the season before last, and a figure that was missed, I think, the season after he left. After he went to Gillingham, but great to welcome him back. And as expected, the response from the supporters, from the fellow players and staff was phenomenal.
And Matt, you managed to catch up with him for a quick audio interview.
Josh, welcome back to Bromley Football Club. Everything's happened so quickly. How does it feel?
Yeah, it's good to be back. Obviously, spent some good time here before. One of the most enjoyable seasons of my career so far. And it's just nice to be back. Obviously, there's a lot that's changed, but there's a lot of the same principles and all the stuff that I enjoyed when I was here before. So, yeah, I'm glad to be just back in a familiar environment with people that I really respect and enjoy to work with. So,
And I know as soon as the opportunity came up, like I said, it has happened very quickly. Neil was straight on the phone and wanted to bring you back here.
Yeah, to be honest, me and the gaffer and the coaching staff, we have a great relationship anyway, so I speak to them regularly. Even when I was at Gillingham, I still kept in contact. I was always looking to see how the club was getting on. One of the first results you look for on a Saturday. So yeah, we have that line of communication, and it was just a sort of a quick conversation from the gaffer where the club's going. And yeah, I was impressed with the vision. Same as when I came here last time. It just seems to be everything going in even better direction now and gathering pace. We've got a great squad in now, and we're going to push in the league, hopefully.
Talking of the squad, plenty of familiar faces that you will have played with before, some new ones as well, and some others that you might know from elsewhere. You seem to have enjoyed your first session.
Yeah, I know quite a lot of the lads. Lads I've been here in my first spell. Lads that are here now. And yeah, it's just a great bunch anyway, and the quality on the pitch speaks for itself, really. It was good to get down with playing with them today, training. It's a good session. You can just see already the quality we've got within the squad.
And you talk about the club going in the right direction. One of the most significant developments since you've come back now is what's behind you, the new stand. It's looking great, isn't it?
Yeah. Again, I think that was in the pipeline when I was last here. Didn't see it in its entirety, but the work was being done. But to see it now, it's so impressive, really. And again, and that's just the stand itself. There's a lot going within the club that people might not see that's changed, but it's all for the good. And it's a really professional outfit and somewhere that I'm really glad to be a part of now.
Neil, you've welcomed Josh Rees back today. Everything's happened so quick.
Yeah, it has. We've obviously always stayed in contact with him, you know, wishing him all the best at Gillingham and everything else, and then obviously seeing the situation for where it was. You know, we've been talking, and as soon as we could got the okay to talk to him and try and get something done, it was a no-brainer, and you know, we welcome him back with open arms. I believe he's come back home.
It's a high quality player and an already high quality midfield. The competition for places is going to be fierce.
Yeah, it is, you know, and we know what Josh can bring to this team, and that's why it was a no-brainer. But what it also does is competition, and everyone's got to be at their best now to be playing for this team. And that's what I've expected since the start of the season. We've had great start of the season, but I don't want it to think that we've cracked anything. We haven't. Got a long way to go. We've got a lot of work, and bringing Josh in just enhances my squad.
Neil, thank you.
Thank you.
Great to hear from both Neil and Josh there. And obviously, straight away, it was literally morning after. Obviously, on the train up to Hartlepool, Matt.
Yes, it was, and it was a long journey, wasn't it? But all smooth on the way up, all smooth on the way back, which was great.
It wasn't bad in between either.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all. Great to have Josh back, and you can see he settled straight in on the way up, obviously talking to all his ex-teammates and knew a lot of players from elsewhere. And Hartlepool, lovely ground, lovely views, Jeff, wasn't it, from the press box? And lovely view of the first half and the second half as well.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, apologies. Cookie's arriving back now.
Here he is.
Sorry. He's just been having a kick about.
In your own time, Cook.
All right, guys.
Honestly. We were just talking about Hartlepool.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I wasn't there.
What? Where have you been?
I went up to Suffolk.
No, I mean just now.
Oh, well, not up to Suffolk. I was just assisting one of the directors of the club.
John Plassard's coming for a kickabout.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, okay. So anyway, back to Hartlepool. Obviously, like you say, Matt, the boys went up on the train in the morning. Josh, you talk about Josh. Josh went straight into the squad.
He did, yes. He was on the bench and actually came on quite early on in the second half. He admitted himself afterwards he felt a little bit rusty, but he did a really good job, actually, considering he hasn't played much recently. And he said it's all about the match fitness, getting the match fitness back. And I'm sure in no time he'll have that with the grueling training regime that Neil Smith's put into place, especially in this hot weather.
Yep, and unfortunately for those of you who couldn't make it, myself and Matt were on commentary duty from Hartlepool. We put together a brief summary of the action for you.
Hartlepool can break now. It's a good recovery though from Kizzy as he gets the ball off.
Joyce picks up the loose ball, finds Coulson. Coulson over the halfway line, plays the ball through. He's onside. It's Michael Cheek. It's a goal!
Yes!
1-0 Bromley. It's Michael Cheek with a goal. Fantastic play there. Was it George in the end who played the through ball?
Yes, it was.
Just onside. It's fantastic timing from both of the Bromley men. And with how long gone, Matt? 8-9 minutes on the clock. It's Bromley. It's Hartlepool 0, Bromley 1.
But he's going to be taking the corner this time.
Straight from the corner. We'll win the system, Matt.
Where have we heard that one before?
Fantastic ball into the box. Everyone's up there. Oh, it fell to Cheek. Rico's had a shot. Yes!
It's in. Rico Hackett-Fairchild with the second goal for Bromley.
It's the second.
Hartlepool could not clear their lines from the corner. And Hackett-Fairchild in the right place at the right time to fire beyond Killip.
Absolutely fantastic. It was the quickest to react. And I think it was Cheek came off first. And the loose ball fell to Rico on the turn. Left foot. Smashed home. And it's Hartlepool United 1, Bromley 2.
Can't see at the minute.
Clifton, I think.
Yeah, it is Clifton. Yeah, it's a great ball. Kizzy's in the box here. Is he going to be able to get a touch?
Yes!
Parking Fairchild again for his second goal of the game. From Joe Kizzy.
What a ball over the top! Who played the ball over the top, Matt?
I don't know. He needs to get the justice he deserves, that ball.
Fantastic goal. Kizzy with an amazing first touch. Bit heavy, but just enough on it. And he managed to poke the second ball through. And it's Hartlepool United 2, Bromley 3. Again, a big thank you to everybody who tuned in on that Saturday to the commentary. It's always great following Twitter and Mixer as we're doing the live commentary and getting everybody's comments in and questions and stuff. It really adds to it. So a big, big thank you for that. Matt, again, for the second game in a row, really, I think after Aldershot, two pretty ugly wins, but, you know, you'd take them.
Absolutely, yeah. It was nervy towards the end. Not quite so much as Aldershot. I felt we were in a little bit more control.
Our goals were fantastic. I mean, in the sense that it was a bad up. It could have gone either way.
Yeah, it was. You're right. It could have gone either way. And you could see towards the end, Hartlepool really, really up the ante. And I think they had an overhead kick, skimmed the crossbar in the dying seconds of the game. And you just felt as he was sort of flying through the air to make contact with the ball, this is going top corner. But luckily not. And a good performance all round. Second half was better than the first, obviously conceding two goals, not ideal. But second half, we were much tighter at the back and good to get that winner as well. Great diagonal ball from Chris Bush into the box.
Yeah, we didn't actually realise that.
No, we didn't know.
Because we were looking over at the subs bench, weren't we?
Yeah.
So I couldn't work out. I couldn't remember who we thought was coming on. And then we were like, who played the ball? What a ball. I don't know who's played it.
Yeah, Kizzy with the touch across the box and Hackett Fairchild just finishing off into the bottom corner.
And as always, manager Neil Smith gave us his thoughts at the end of the game.
Neil, beautiful day, beautiful 3 points.
Yeah, that was the only thing that was beautiful about it. You know, the game wasn't great. We were scruffy, especially the first half. I know we went in with two goals, but the two goals we gave away were quite soft. It was like the Torquay game. It was going back to that with the conditions and everything else. And, you know, we went in at half-time and just said, you know, we've got to play the conditions better. Obviously, then Rico scores the goal and then it was back against the wall. But you're going to expect it with a side like Hartlepool at home. You know, we are going to be under pressure a little bit. But I thought, again, Mark Cousins was brilliant and called upon. I thought, you know, when he was in use, pulled out all the stops.
And a tactical change as well in the second half a couple of times.
Yeah, you know, we knew we were going to be under the cosh a little bit, and you know, Mark comes in there and just shores it up. You know, I think the three of them play really well together, so it was a case of getting him on, just see the game off, you know. And then even when you know, we go through and you think, you know, get a shot off or have a, you know, might be a penalty or something like that, we give it away. And it's just that mentality of seeing a game out now. I think we're learning the hard way.
And let's talk through the goals. An unnerving finish from Michael Cheek, and Rico twice in the right place at the right time. Good anticipation.
Absolutely. You know, Chico in training is flying. You know, and we know when we signed him, we've got a goal scorer. Let's go through one-on-one like he did. You know, you never doubt that he's going to hit the target and put it away. And then obviously Rico coming back after his little giggly injury to miss out on Tuesday, comes in and proves why he goes straight back into the side, you know, notching the two. And it is about that being in the right area at the right time. You know, we had it with JJ last year, and hopefully Rico can get his chance.
And we entertain Boreham Wood at home next week. Thoughts ahead of that one?
Yeah, again, you know, Luke Garrard gets good, strong teams together. You know, he's a very good manager at this level. You know, knows the game. So we're expecting a tough game. But the boys have got a couple of days to rest now. You know, we've had a long journey. We left this morning. You know, some of the boys left at 6:30 this morning. So to put a shift in like they did, it was full credit to them. But, you know, we'll get home, regroup on Tuesday, and prepare ourselves for a very, very tough bank holiday weekend.
And just finally, Josh Rees, obviously, welcome back to the club yesterday, and came on quite early on in the second half.
For Josh, it was about getting the rust out and the cobwebs, because obviously he hasn't had the best of times in the last few weeks at Gillingham. But he come on, and I think his lungs are hurting at the moment. I think they're having a shower more than anything else. But he'll get up and into the pace of things, but very, very quickly, knowing Josh. But great signing, great acquisition for the club, and hopefully, you know, it looks good for the future.
Well, Neil, congratulations on a good result.
Another fantastic win on the road. Matt, where does that leave us in the table?
We are third in the table, one of only three unbeaten sides, along with Solihull and Sutton.
Ooh.
Nice to hear, isn't it? But long may it continue. We're not quite there yet, 5 games in.
Okay, so moving on to the academy development. Affairs away from the first team. I think it was yesterday, finally it was announced by National League with regards to their new academy status that they've been granting football clubs at our level. I believe the main aim behind the new scheme is to try and set a benchmark, set a standard for what academies need to be achieving in terms of welfare, in terms of player development, everything like that. And thanks to some fantastic work from Mark Hammond, Tom Bowman, Sue Whitaker, and the team behind the scenes at the academy, they're one of the first clubs to be awarded their full academy status by the National League. There's a lovely photo of Mark Hammond over on the official website with the CEO of the National League, Michael Tattersall. So, yeah, congratulations to everybody involved there. Hopefully it shows that like you say, Matt, in regards to the club developing both on and off the field, whether it's a new stand, whether it's things like the academy and reaching that standard, it's obviously fantastic to read.
Yeah, it's brilliant to see, isn't it? And it's great to have that recognition. We know all the academy staff have been working really, really hard even before this process. So it's nice to see that recognised by the National League and put out there.
And obviously, when we talk about development, onto the under-23 development squad and also probably loan watch match. Sorry, Matt. We got obviously there's a few players out and about.
Yes, loans, dual regis, etc. So Danny Mills has given us a little update, obviously the under-23's manager. Claudio Krasnicki and Alex Breffo both featured in Lordswood's 3-3 draw with Erithtown, and both are being said to have been doing, if I can say it, very well so far. Lewis Miller played for Lewisham in their 4-3 win against Snodland.
I thought you were about to say something else.
Whilst Billy Krask and Briggs Ogerman both played in Glebe's 2-0 defeat to Deal Town. They did play the week before as well, those two, and Billy actually scored for Glebe in the FA Cup, which was great to see. Brian Okongo has played every game for Farnborough this season and had an influential say in their 3-1 win against Beaconsfield Town last week. So all really, really positive coming out from the players that are representing other clubs at the moment on loans and dual registrations. Really exciting times. And obviously the under-23s in action at Hayes Lane tonight against Sutton. Kick off 8 o'clock. Ravens Bar and Pete's Hatch open for that one.
They've obviously got numerous fixtures, Friday night fixtures at home games, aren't they, again this season?
Yes, they are, yeah.
So again, the way the Suburban League works, they announce their fixtures sort of almost monthly, don't they? Sort of two, three weeks at a time. So it's
very strange.
Not a full fixture list up yet, but we'll do our utmost to keep you updated with the fixtures as and when they come in. Just on non-first team affairs, Matt, obviously we put a piece on the website about team mascots and experiences that are available. Obviously, we have our own youth teams represent us on match days as flag bearers and mascots, but we're opening it up to the wider community, Matt, and giving an opportunity for other local teams to get involved.
We are indeed, yes. And the response actually so far, considering this has only been up a couple of days, has been really positive. We've been flooded with emails and requests and having to fit people in now. So the basic sort of principle of it is a youth team would come down and meet the first team, have a tour of the dressing room and of the pitch. If possible, they'll get to have a quick kick about before the players come out and warm up, and then obviously walk out with the team, take part in the handshake, and then return to the pitch at half time for a penalty shootout in front of the crowd, which is a fantastic experience for them, especially to their names being announced.
Brilliant. I'm sure people see it take place last season. I think Tim Wheeler, I'm sure Tim's listening. His side have been down and done it previously,
haven't
they?
Right. We've had a lot of local.
I'm sure there's plenty of good recommendations there. So apologies, Matt, that's all on the website?
It is, yeah, and all you need to do is just fill out the form that's on that page and select a game that you're interested in, provide us with some contact details, and we'll be in touch.
Fantastic. Last night, Matt, Cookie, where were we?
We were at Waterstones Bromley for Dave Roberts' book launch of The Long, Long Road to Wembley. Fantastic to see a lot of people turning up, and a massive credit to Jeff, Ronan, James for live streaming it as well. So people actually tuned in on Facebook, which was really interactive.
Considering we were working off a mobile phone connection in the end, I think it actually came out not
quite
too bad.
Quite a tight space as well, wasn't it? Right, sort of sandwiched in between a bookcase and people who were sitting watching the actual event.
Yeah, I mean, they were like, oh, we've got about 30 chairs. And I was like, not sure that's going to be enough. But yeah, like I said, in the end, I think it must have been about 70, 80 people there.
Oh, it was very busy, wasn't it?
And there was only standing room left.
I mean, unfortunately, I arrived a bit late, and by the time I got there, people were queuing up, and the queue was really long to get their books signed by Dave, Jack Holland and Neil Smith, and have photos with all of them. It was really, really nice of those two to turn up as well and actually face the questions from Mash, who was doing the comparing.
Yeah, so it was quite funny, really, because it was the whole thing, by the way, I think is over on Facebook, the whole live stream still up, I think. Yeah. So you go to facebook.com/BromleyFC, you can watch all of it. I think it's about an hour, just over an hour long, but I was going to say it's a thoroughly enjoyable watch, but there are moments for everybody that was there where it sort of turned into a bit of a therapy session with regards to Wembley and penalties and things like that. But it really was a really enjoyable evening. And like you say, Matt, Jack Collum was there, Neil Smith, Mash was on compare duties, and Dave Roberts, obviously, himself. And there were plenty of Q&As, and we managed to get some questions up from Facebook as well. And it was, really, really enjoyable evening. And on that front, Matt, you managed to... catch up with both the author, Dave Roberts, but also Captain Jack Holland.
Dave Roberts, welcome back to the podcast. You've been on it before, recently actually. It's been the book launch at Waterstones Bromley in the Glades today for The Long, Long Road to Wembley, and it was a long, long road to writing the book, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, and it took me nearly a year to write, and I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it, which is unusual. I don't usually like writing books, but this one was a real pleasure.
And the turnout tonight, I mean, I arrived slightly late, but there seemed to be masses of Bromley fans and football fans in general here as well.
Yeah, we were told there was going to be about 35 or 40 people, and I think there must have been double that. So,
and obviously the book's now out there, it's available. What was your feeling when it came out? You must have been relieved.
Relieved and hopeful. You never know how books are going to be received. You know, I think most writers just assume that everyone's going to hate their new books. So when people start saying good things about them, it always means a lot. And yeah, I've had a few good comments.
Well, if the Bromley Boys is anything to go by, I'm sure it'll be fantastic. Speaking of which, obviously the film has taken off as well recently. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really have a hell of a lot to do with the book, to be honest. It's changed quite a bit, but yeah, it's just great to see a film about Bromley being sort of in America, China, all over the world.
And related to the book as well that you're releasing now, you've had a lot of support from supporters of Bromley, players, staff, and two of whom are here tonight, Jack and the manager Neil.
It's been fantastic, the club getting behind the book. I think, well, you were part of it as well, Jeff, everyone. You know, the Jack and Neil both contributed money towards it when they didn't have to, and I'm just blown away by the support. You know, Jeff has been over backwards to help. He's sort of basically done anything I wanted, he's helped out. And you yourself have been, you know, really helpful. So
thank you, David.
To be part of a club like that, that, you know, sort of gets behind you.
It's been a pleasure to help you, and congratulations on a fantastic launch. And you've got another one tomorrow, I believe.
Yeah, in Orpington. I don't think that will be quite as crowded. I think it's going to be me sitting at an empty desk for about an hour, but yeah, I'll take it.
Well, Dave, good luck with it, and thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Jack, we're in Waterstones Bromley, which is a bit weird, but why have we been here? Why have you been here?
Yes, for the launch of Dave Roberts' new book, which, you know, went off really well. You know what, I was actually surprised about the amount of people that actually packed out this area. It was only a small area, I thought, but they were standing everywhere, which was nice. And some good questions from the audience as well.
And the club's really got behind this, haven't they? Obviously promoting it yourself, you've donated to the book, George Porter, Neil Smith, a few of the staff have as well. Everyone's really, really got behind this.
Yes, I know for a fact there are many, many ex-players, staff members, obviously fans that pledged towards the book. And, you know, I think that just shows how much of a family club and the strong ties people have to this club, even when they leave, you know, to see a book coming out about Bromley. And it speaks a lot about Dave as well, where we want to support him. And, you know, to see all the patrons in the book, you know, it really does show that the Bromley is something special.
And it's quite unique, isn't it? You look at other clubs at this level, it don't really have that.
No, it's brilliant, you know, to have a writer such as Dave being a fan, first of all. And then, you know, the books he writes, you know, are very entertaining as well. So, you know, he's a very talented man, and we're lucky to have him.
And speaking of talented, it's a very talented squad this season. I'm sure it's been said to you a lot tonight, but a great start to the season. You must be pleased so far.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think because of last year, we thought, you know, we wanted a strong start to the year. And, you know, we prepared well in pre-season. The players coming in were brilliant. You know, it was a very strong squad with a lot of competition for places this year, which motivates us even more. So, you know, it's been a great start, but we're looking for that consistency this year moving forward.
And that all starts with a visit at Boreham Wood on Saturday. Looking forward to it.
I am obviously, you know, with Gregor's there and stuff, it'll be good to see him. But, you know, we've got a professional job on our hands. You know, we know Boreham Wood are very strong, always have been. They'll come to us, and, you know, we've done our work on them this week, you know, and we'll hopefully get the result.
Jack, you're joint top scorer at the minute.
I know. I think Belly Bingham and Rico is the
and
other
Cheeky,
two.
Yeah.
And Cheeky. You know, it just proves goals are coming from anywhere this year. And, you know, we're getting great great delivery in the box from Luke Coulson and Raymond, which makes our job even better. But you know, it's always nice to be up there, so hopefully I can add a few more to the tally by the end of the season.
I'm sure you will. Thank you very much, Jack.
Thank you very much.
Great to hear from Dave Roberts and Jack on there, and obviously a massive shout out to Neil and Jack, who gave up their time, and obviously Mash for comparing the evening. A really, really, really well organised event, and it was great to see so many Bromley fans turn out there as well. So I'm no doubt Dave's really thanked her, but yeah, again, a massive thank you to everybody who turned up last night, and also to those who watched it over on Facebook. Before we move on to the weekend's action, I forgot to cover in the academy section, Matt, the recent results day. Obviously, it was GCSEs last week. Was it A-levels and B-techs the previous week? So, yeah, I think we've got a few little shout-outs, really.
Yeah, so first of all, congratulations and best of luck to everyone that got the results they wanted, as cheesy as that sounds. Just to go into it, congratulations on our side for Louis Davison, who achieved the highest grade possible at BTEC level.
Triple distinction star.
Yeah, apparently so.
I don't even get a single distinction.
I got D's and E's, and I'm being generous with the sand D's.
I'm not sure anyone's surprised. Anyway,
No one's surprised. Thomas Songu is heading straight to education and qualification pathway for Vardy under 23, so he's sticking around.
Two distinctions and a merit.
That's it. And obviously Alex Breffo, one of our guys that has been in around the first team as well pre-season in the under 23s.
He's in some of the 23s.
That's it.
Oh, brilliant. And obviously Mark Hammond, obviously Academy Director Mark Hammond, all players have excelled in their 2 years as football students, getting outstanding results at both A-level and B-Tech. This positivity will help inspire the future scholars with their 2 years ahead, and hopefully they can mirror the success of the players mentioned above. Obviously, you talk about that. Obviously, when you've got parents and students, obviously when they do come to the open days and everything like that, it's fantastic to be able to showcase certain players, and, you know, almost as case studies of, you know, here's what's possible, here's what's been achieved in the past. So, like you say, another two, three scholars that can be added to that, really.
It's great to see for Bromley that the education sort of system is working as well, which is
it's still amazing. You know, just can't explain that what happens outside of the football, the role and everything that the power that the club plays in other areas of our life. Matt, two games in 3 days.
Yes, two games in 3 days, and it all starts with a visit of Boreham Wood tomorrow. Boreham Wood currently sit 16th in the table on 5 points with a goal difference of one. Last time out, they lost 1-0 to Sutton United at home, obviously the David Gregory, Omar Bagil derby. So David Gregory, of course, between the sticks and very likely to start tomorrow for Boreham Wood, so we will see on that one. And obviously, man to look out for, I would say, is Kabongo Chimanga. He's got 4 goals in 5 games already. They haven't had a best start to the season, but he's scored a fair few goals, as you can see, and got over 30 last year for Oxford City. So after that, we travel to Maidenhead. Bit of a different story. They are 5th in the table, and have had a really, really good start to the season. Under the radar, Alan Devonshire again doing a great job. And not really many massive signings, but they go about their business quietly. And like I say, they're 5th in the table, a point behind us as things stand.
Among this, they're part time, right? They were part time the past couple of seasons, but since they got promoted, wasn't they?
They were. I've got a feeling they've stepped it up to 3 days a week now, so sort of semi full time, I think.
Alan,
I might be wrong.
Still managing?
Yes.
That's my knowledge of Maidenhead.
And of course, we will be providing you with commentary at that game on Monday at York Road, so do tune in if you're not able to make the trip. But it'd be great to see you down there if you can.
And I'm back on this trip. So
nice of you to join us.
That's it.
That's killed it.
talking of Maidenhead, I caught up with Adrian Clifton earlier just to get his thoughts about going back to his previous club. Joined by Adrian Clifton. Adrian, Bromley Football Club, it's been a good start for the club. How have you been fitting in?
Yeah, it's been a very good start for the club. We picked up some good results along the way. And in terms of fitting in, yeah, I think from the first day I knew it was going to be... It was good for me because I got along with a lot of the boys. We've got a good bunch here, and it's a lot of the boys I've played against or know at some outside of football as well. So, yeah, fitting in nicely, enjoying my time. Yeah.
And obviously, is it your first time? Because obviously, previously at Maidenhead, is it your first time in a full-time capacity?
Yeah, so it's my first time full-time capacity for about 10 years. So, yeah, it's been a long time since basically a youngster. Last time I was in a full-time capacity. So, but it's been difficult. As you can probably imagine, getting into full time at 30 again, it's been tough on my old, on the old body, but I've got there. Pre-season was hard. It's the fittest I've ever felt, and yeah, I'm here and I'm ready to go.
Fantastic. And just moving on, obviously we're playing your old team on Monday, so what's it going to be like going back to Maidenhead?
Oh, well, I had a very good time at Maidenhead. So, you know, you get some of your old clubs, you don't get along with people when you leave, and there's a bit of, I don't know, a bit of animosity and stuff like that. But there'll be nothing like that going back to Maidenhead. It'll be good to see a few faces, and a lot of my mates still play for Maidenhead, and like I said, yeah, get along with everyone there, so it'll be good to go back and see them. It'll be a tough game, one that I'd be hoping to win, playing against your old club, you know,
back
and
score
and all that. I would score as well. And I guess I was only playing there a few weeks ago, well, months ago, so it still feel like it's a place I'm very familiar with, so hopefully I can use that to my advantage.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. Adrian, thank you very much.
No doubt he'll still know where the back of the net is on that ground, just like he did last season, and hopefully he can get on the score sheet.
Fingers crossed. Would be nice, wouldn't it, to get a win there. It's not been a very lucky place for us over recent years. We were going to speak about...
When you talk about bogey teams.
Yeah. We were going to speak about the previous meetings, and actually last year was one of the better
we've
had against Maidenhead. Obviously, the away game was quite early on in the season again, and it wasn't looking too good at 90 minutes. We didn't play very well, in all honesty, and all of a sudden, first minute of injury time, we get given a penalty. Frankie Sutherland steps up and takes it, and then pandemonium in the away end. Just a couple of minutes later, last seconds of injury time, long
you
goal
two
kick.
Were on the commentary duty, weren't
me
you?
And James that day.
Oh, blimey, James.
Yeah, no, you weren't there. And I remember distinctly because everyone was looking at us and shouting obscenities at us after we were celebrating the goal. George Porter with the injury time equaliser, two goals in 4 minutes. Maidenhead didn't know what hit them. We were absolutely going crazy, and it was just a bolt from the blue. We really didn't expect it.
I missed that. I was tuning into commentary that day. I remember my I've got two memorable games from there. No, a few actually. There's Hammo running the line.
Yes, I remember
Hammo running the line at one of the games.
Yeah, I remember that.
As assistant,
I think that was the 4-4, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was a 4-4.
So
that was that one. Talking about that, we then had the 4-4, didn't we? Where we had to win, didn't we, to try and... Do we have to win to try and win the league, or...?
No.
That was the 4-4. The 4-2 was when we weren't sure if we were staying up or going down, because Billericay's game with Western Supermare kicked off half an hour late.
Did we lose 4-2?
We did, yeah. But Western Supermare beat Billericay, which meant they got
Moses
relegated.
Swaybu.
Yes, Marlon Patterson.
Danny Waldron got sent off.
Yeah. Richard Paquette.
Richard Paquette was out
playing for Maidenhead.
Richard Paquette was playing for Maidenhead. Every long ball over the top, Richard Paquette was outpacing Moses Swaybu 1-on-1. And I'm sitting there going, what's happening here? Very, very peculiar. What?
It's not good.
No,
not good.
Like you say, I'm sure there was one time we were trying to win. I think we were going for the league, weren't we?
That was the 4-4.
That was the
4-4. And as well,
last season, season four, when we had the chance of getting into the playoffs.
Oh, and we lost 5-2. Yeah. That was the last game of the season.
We 4-0 down in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So basically, what we're trying to say is we drew a win.
Well, yeah, we did actually beat them here last season. Jack Holland with a solitary goal in a 1-0 victory in December. Boreham Wood as well. Last season, not a great side for us to play against. We lost on both occasions.
Well, Boreham Wood, as Cookie wants to put in an email to him.
We lost 2-1 at
Blamed
the away game.
Blamed autocorrect, if anyone.
Yeah. It was autocorrect. Wow. He sent an email to one of the directors.
Anyway, Boreham
Wood last year, we lost both games, 2-1 away and then 2-0 in March here. So not very good last season. The season before was a bit better. We beat them here.
Oh, what about that season? 3-2. What about the season we went up as champions? Bradley Goldberg. 1-1. Jack Holland, free ball from the halfway line.
Unbelievable. And they 1-0 up in that game.
Keeper
as well.
Comes out, The terrace are moving forward. Everyone's having a main stand, slotted away.
Were you you were filming, weren't you?
That was a moment.
I was filming on that, and I absolutely forgot where I was.
That was a moment that the league title swung our way. I'm sure of it.
And it was it. And then didn't we go Hemel Hempstead the week after and drew 1-0? And Jeff tripped out the power in the stadium.
We were in the bar, weren't we? And unplugged, they're like extension lead, and we plugged our camera in to try and charge it up. And all of a sudden, all the TVs went out of the bar, everything. And we were standing, we were watching that. Oh yeah, because we were lost there, didn't we? Well, we thought we'd won.
No, we won, and then we was 1-0 up in like the 94th minute. And then they scored from half.
We drew, didn't we?
We drew. Yeah.
Oh my god! And you're standing beyond the terrace, behind the goal, and they'd only just finished a concrete, and they hadn't let it properly. It hadn't been swept or anything. So every time the wind came, it was like a Sahara desert, like a dust bowl, trying to watch a game. That was brutal. I thought we'd won the game.
Yeah.
And they scored straight from a restart, didn't they?
Yeah. I love how we digress though, and we start talking about that.
Oh my lord!
It's two tough teams that we faced before, and no doubt give us a good test.
So to recap, Saturday 24th of August, it's Bromley versus Boreham Woods. Even more good news, Matt. We're open from 12 o'clock as always, showing the Premier League football, which is fantastic. Who's playing? Norwich versus
Great game, maybe.
We've got free pint. We've got free beer, Matt.
Free beer between
who's Shepherd and Neame, our brewery. Fantastic. Big thank you to them for sponsoring the fixture. They're actually sponsoring it under the guise of Spitfire Lager. And as a result, we're able to offer every supporter who arrives before 1 o'clock a free pint of Spitfire Lager.
It's brilliant.
I'm a supporter and I'm arriving before 1 o'clock, but I've got a feeling it doesn't count too often.
No,
I guess.
Get mine and put it in the fridge.
That's a good idea, actually. Yeah.
That literally, Ravens Bar's open from midday. Arrive before 1 o'clock. Treat yourself to a free pint of Spitfire. Also, thanks to Shepherd and Neame, our marquee bar is slowly edging its way to being a full-blown bar. We've got a new draft unit in there, which is going to have both Spitfire Lager and Bear Island East Coast Pale Ale. Both of them on draft, nice and cold, along with all the other bottled beers as well that'll be in there. That'll be open from 1:30 as well. So improvements there. The actual game itself, tickets available on the website, Matt, at the reduced rates.
Yes, they are, and you can get those until 1 o'clock on the day. And obviously, tickets still available on the turnstiles if you don't manage to get yours in advance. We'd love to see as many of you there as possible.
Card and contactless available on the gate. Season ticket holders, sincere apologies that the electronic cards aren't fully working at the moment. Again, all turnstiles on Saturday, all 5-6 turnstiles that will be open. We'll be accepting credit card. Season ticket holders. So go to your nearest turnstile, go to the shortest queue, and in you come. What else have we missed, Matt?
I think that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Cookie, what we missed?
A way to make.
Oh yes, sorry, apologies. And then after that, you can all have Sunday off. But then Monday. We're making the short trip. I say short-ish. Probably on a bank holiday Monday, getting a coach around the N25. It won't be short. Oh, well, so they're going for the corridor. I don't know if you're talking about it. We're off to Maidenhead. Details of that, Matt, are all on the website.
Yes, absolutely.
And before we leave this afternoon, we have got the question of the week, which we asked last week.
Yeah.
The response was amazing.
Underwhelming.
No one come back with an answer. So we're going to keep it open this week. Who was your best summer signing?
I think we had a few
signing?
Answers, to be fair, but I don't think we plugged in really enough.
Want to carry on.
Apologies. Recap the question. Sorry.
Question
we
this
week.
We do
this when we commentate as well. We talk over each other.
I know. You're still doing it now.
Yeah.
So the question this week that we continue from last week was, who is your favourite summer signing of this season for Bromley Football Club? Obviously, we have our own different people, but we're going to carry on and answer when we get a few more of you
marvellous
interested.
Matt, how do we get in contact?
You can email podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk. You can tweet us @bromleyfc using the hashtag RavensWeekly, or you can reply to the posts on the socials, Instagram, Facebook and Twitter.
There we go. Thank you very much, Matt. Jeff, I think this is a wrap for now.
I think that's it, yeah. A big thank you to everybody who's tuned in, listened, downloaded the episodes. Like Matt referred to, we'll have live commentary on Bank Holiday Monday, a trip away at Maidenhead United over on the website, bromleyfc.co.uk. But more importantly, get down to Hayes Lane on Saturday as Bromley take on Boreham Woods. The boys are in fantastic form, third in the table. I'm beating in five. It'd be great to get as many people down Hayes Lane as possible. Make it a really good atmosphere. It's going to be a scorching hot day. I'm pretty sure we could probably guarantee people are going to soak them with the sprinklers, because any side of wind and everybody seems to get get soaked in the on the terrace. So hydration will be provided, and of course we're assisting with that with a free pint in the Ravens bath between 12 and 1.
Hydrating, so make sure you keep hydrated with water and fruit juice.
Oh, the health and safety officer bringing in there. Oh, hang on, what's Jackie, our bar manager, has walked in. Apologies.
Free Ray-Bans.
Free Ray-Bans. Oh, we've got a free pair of sunglasses as well. Forgot about that, Matt.
I've already got my
Oh, you've got your. Oh, I thought they were your actual.
They're not Ray-Bans, Dad. They're a cheap imitation. However,
I thought you actually bought them. So apologies. So it's 3 pints of Spitfire Lager.
Three shades.
And also the beer, the Bear Coat. What is it called?
Bear Island
East Coast Pale Ale. Is if you buy that, you get a free pair of sunglasses. Fantastic. Do they just come in luminous orange and blue?
Yes.
Right, okay. So now you know. Again, a big thank you to Cookie.
Thank you very much.
To Matt.
Always a pleasure.
To Jackie behind us somewhere. And of course yourself for listening. Hopefully we'll see you all on Saturday. And like I said, we'll have commentary over on the website on Bank Holiday Monday at Maidenhead. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again soon.
Take care.
All this stuff you're giving us, there's just one team for me, and that's the town where